Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is going to be short and sweet. It's a Friday again, and I just got home from work. It's been a hell of a week. Haven't been able to record Gotham by Geeks. Three sessions, I think. Hopefully, this next one I will be able to attend. It's hard for me in the during the weekday to record anything just because I'm so doggone busy. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Legacy and Harbinger Renegades number 5. Okay. Legacy numbering. I just we talked briefly about this on Geek Brunch Retro and kind of what it meant to us and. I just got real nostalgic over the last week. Like I was reading older stuff and I was looking at the numbers and I was like, man, it was great to know that there was 125 issues before this. Or this one really hit, like 500 and it was legit. And it's kind of sad today that you can't hit those numbers anymore. And I think it's retailers because retailer incentives. It's because more people are willing to try number one than stick with a book. They give up. I think it's a squirrel thing, like that dog sees the squirrel and takes off. I have that, but I'm fortunate enough to. When I switch, I always could switch back, and I can get a lot of comics and read them when I'm in the mood for it, because mood reading is really important to me to maximize the entertainment value. If I'm forced to read something, then it changes my enjoyment. And I could see how some people that read methodically, if I did that, it would wreck my enjoyment because, like, I haven't been in the mood for DC in a long time. And I think, I don't know what it is, but I think I go through these mood swings where I just need something different. And I'm starting to get hungry again for DC over maybe this week. Like, I'm gonna probably read the rest of Hush and we'll see how that goes, see if it gets me back. So far, I've read the first three issues of Hush. This is a reread. I've only read the thing once. I don't love it as much as some, but I think it's one of the greats. But the more I look at this and I compare it with Long Halloween, for me personally, Long Halloween is like much better. Like, how does a guy fall off of a fucking building like he did and recover just because? Thomas Elliot is an awesome surgeon and could go into your brain and do some brain surgery, and then you're back on the streets. Like, how do you recover from that? Batman's not you superhuman. And there was an interesting comment to Consolving, the doctor that helped him out when his back was broken, but they didn't go that way. They just mentioned her. And her status. So yeah, that was interesting. But man, those numbers were large, and that's what I miss. I totally miss it. It's so hard to discuss comics anymore because you could even have a volume change like Rocket Raccoon within the same year. It's like, how the hell do you do that? Monsters Unleashed already has two volumes. It had the event. And the ongoing, which I think it's an ongoing, they'll probably cancel it soon. I really want to read that very soon just to see what it was like. Especially if it's got Bloodstone, Alyssa Bloodstone. I really like her. And maybe it will because she's a monster hunter and her father was a monster hunter. So I hope that that's the case. Yeah, but I was just missing numbering. Like everything I was reading that was for retro was really large numbers, and I just missed that doesn't exist anymore. And the new like renumbering, like the DC Action Comics and Detective, that kind of means something because it only shifts. And when New 52 came, they made the decision to renumber it. And I think they regret it. You know, we talked about that on Retrocast, and I think they regret that the fact that they let their two legacy books, the ones that were always there, get renumbered. And I don't know if that'll ever happen again. I think Action and Superman will always continue. But the market is so weird, and it's just people order stuff. Retailers order based on what they can sell, at least you'd think. And that's what controls the diamond numbers and nothing else. Is like the retailers buy stuff. The publisher only cares about what the retailers buy because that's sell through to them, unless they have like a return policy, which is few and far between. They do that with certain launches and such. But yeah, I just they're renumbering Venom. To me, that means nothing. You know, you're like 150 or whatever. Yeah, right. I mean, that was like seven volumes and all kinds of mini series and yeah, you got there, but it doesn't feel like that. But if you do Amazing, like Iron Man, it got renamed Invincible Iron Man, and I'm loving that. But volume one of that, they decided to make it, even though it's legacy number, you know, it like went. So you had Iron Man, which is the first volume, even though they had Invincible in the front as Iron Man. And then you had Matt Fraction relaunch it, and it's Invincible Iron Man. And towards the tail end of his run, they bumped it up to like 500 and something. Like, boom. And they kept it in that volume. So it lost, like, it goes from volume one to Invincible Iron Man, and then it jumps all the way to 500. Sometimes, even when they've done this in the past, it goes back to the original volume. So you'll see it jump like Daredevil back to volume one. I think it was issue 500 when Ed Brubaker was writing it. But it really contaminates the archiving of a book. It makes it difficult. And the best thing to do is archive it with the current series. That's what I say, because that's where the storyline and that's where the flow is. And if you wanted to read it, yeah, you're going from like issue 28 to 500, so be it. But the story flows at least. So that's what I had to say there. And then this Wednesday, I went to the comic shop and I really was hyped to read The Harbinger Renegade. I really enjoyed the first season, the series by Rafer Roberts and Derek Robertson. And I wanted to see what this was about because they've been hyping it as a death book. And it's still too early to really talk about details, but I think they missed the mark. For one thing, they caused this to be issue 5, which was like 6 months, it seems like an eternity, after the issue 4. So it loses the momentum. But to top that off, this book has nothing to do with any of the characters that you really saw in Harbinger Renegade 1 through 4. What this really was a continuation of Gen Zero and the hardcore stuff, which I think the last time we really saw them significantly was in Imperium towards the tail end of that run. And that was a long fucking time ago. And what this is supposed to be like a shocking death. And it's diminished. It's diminished because we've lost the focus of the characters that were in this book. Yeah, Gen 13 or yeah, Gen Zero was just probably 6 months ago, but if you're a comic reader and you read a lot of books like me, it takes you a while to spin back up and start caring about these characters. Like, it's not hard with DC and Marvel because they're just coming out like this, so they're there. But when they skip that big old chunk, you lose the emotional attachment and all the details that are with those characters. And usually with the death, especially if it's in an independent comic, even if I know they're coming back to life in like DC or Marvel, if it's done well, I'll be crying. I'll be bawling. And this book had nothing of that for me. Like it wasn't 'cause it wasn't well written. It wasn't because it was more 'cause of distance between the characters they show and the death that desensitized me to the val and then it just seemed like shock value. It just seemed like it was all for shock. And they solicited it with the white cover saying this has a graphic death. And it does have. I don't even want to talk about it because it's still too early. Like, some people get monthly books or, they don't read it right away. And there's still a lot to talk about. The problem was not with the content of the book. I think the problem was with the timing and with the hype. They hyped this for so many freaking months that it devalued it. And I think they should wait. They should wait to hype stuff. 'Cause imagine if they didn't hype it. I understand why they do it. Like they want to get people to buy this issue. Even if it's issue 5, they want people to get to buy it. But this thing would have had way more shock value if it like flew under the radar. Like like when they do like Cap or something like that and it shocks you that something happens. That's what I wish they would do. But anyway, I would give it a 4 out of 5. It was a solid read. It just didn't mean nothing to me as far as the deaths. And the same thing happened with Harbinger when they killed off Flamingo. They didn't really focus on her in the whole series until like the very end, like when she was gonna die. So, like if they had built her character up in like 14 issues and then you hit 25 and then she dies, that would mean a lot more instead of what they did. So for the deaths, as far as Valiant goes, they haven't really hit my emotional peak. I think the only time I got emotional is with the Valiant with K. And that was the only time that I think I've ever got attached. And that was just because it was in a mini series and it was like boom, 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 boom. And they had built, like, the whole book was about her. And she was a geomancer. But that's all I'm going to say about that. One other thing, I've started to watch Castlevania on Netflix. And I've never played the video game, but I love Dracula. And this was on the anime side. Like, it looks sort of American animation, but you could definitely see it was sort of anime. And I usually don't like that. But I watched it, and it was written by Warren Ellis. And it was probably rated R, I would say, for the violence and the cussing. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was only 4 episodes on Netflix. I like the shortness of it. Every episode is about 24 minutes. There's only 4 of them, and then it got a second season, so maybe they'll wrap it up. But I thought it was a great series. And I was also happy with the midterm finale with Fear the Walking Dead. Although there's one character that, god dang, she just drives me fucking crazy. Like every time I start to like her, like season 2 came and I was like, ah, she's different. Like I can latch on to this. And then she goes and does something like batshit crazy. Although the irony of it is that sometimes it sort of makes sense. But yeah, there's been a lot of comic stuff going on in the TV, and I am prompted to check out the was gonna say Purge, but I still need to watch Purge Anarchy because I like the movie The Purge, and I saw Election Night, and that was fantastic. But I even forgot what I was talking about. See, that's what happens when you walk around the house and you see something. It's like squirrel. But I wanted to mention Castlevania, and I wanted to talk a little bit about Fear the Walking Dead. And the Castlevania has a comic book coming out in this month's previews called Castlevania. And I'm prompted to buy it. It's from Titan Comics. And if I didn't see this animated series, I don't think I would have. And now I think I want to give it a try. I feel like I know these characters and want to check it out, even though I haven't played the video game. So, yeah, it got me to check out a Titan comic. All right, let's quickly go through the comics. This is the week, November 14th, 2016 through November 20th, 2016. There are a total of 30 comics. A really diverse week that week. It must have been a geek brunch week. I had a comic from Z2. I had one. I had three Valiant comics, two Titan comics, three Marvel comics, one IDW, one Dynamite, 17 DC, one Dark Horse, and one American Gothic Press. How about that for diversity, huh? So let's start with the 3 out of 5s. That means I liked it, but that's about it. I didn't really like it. We had Scooby-Doo 75. This is a good read if you enjoy the cartoon, the original, and you just want to like decompress right before bed. It works really well. And I recommend it if you're a Scooby-Doo fan. It is like the cartoon, and it's just Scooby-Doo. Like Scooby-Doo team up is if you Charlie Fish, man, he really has a good DC history. But it doesn't always involve DC history. They throw in like Quick Draw McGraw and some other stuff, but it's a if I had to choose between Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, and Scooby-Doo Team Up, I'd choose Scooby-Doo Team Up. I think it's a better book. Another 3 out of 5 was Britannia, the first volume, number 1 and 2. Roman witches use a Roman centurion to do their bidding. He's kind of like the detective, and that's what this is solicited about. And there's monsters in Britannia that he has to go after. This series didn't hit it for me until Volume 2. It was too dark and heartless. I didn't get to know the character, but I feel like in Volume 2, I'm in there and I'm vested now. So we had Gotham Academy Season 3, Number 3. They uncover a witch that is stealing books and students and controlling them via a hat. It's like a witch book. And there's a tech character that gets expelled. This actually means a lot more to me now that I read some future issues because the book climbed up into the 4 out of 5s, definitely. Raven number 3. This book I think started off really well for me and then just stayed in the 3s. It was she fights the White Dome. Her anger can cause her to potentially release Trigon, so she has to control her anger. She ends up in the hospital trying to protect a schoolmate. The last 3 out of 5 is Nightwing number 9, and this one's been all over the place for me. This is a done-in-one adventure with Superman where they have to work together to take down Dr. Destiny in his mind. Some people really liked it. Me, not so much. But I didn't hate it, or I did not dislike it. It just was there, and I read it for what it was. Then we get into the 4 out of 5s, which I really liked it. We have Superman number 11. This is the Batman, Superman, and Nobody test Damian and Jonathan to work together to achieve their goals. A really good building issue for Damian and Jonathan. We have Cyborg number 5. This is an evil villain uses Cyborg to help him create a female Cyborg with another mother box. And she has a secret government that is kind of using her. She worked for the government, and I really liked her character. I think that was the period of Cyborg that was the high point of Cyborg. We have He-Man and Thundercats number 2. He-Man fights off villains with no sword, and Skeletor uses Mum-Ra to get the power of Eternia. We have Legend number 2. This is the Z2, and it's like animals in the post-apocalyptic. And in this particular issue, the cats align themselves with the dogs to go after the shadow monster that actually killed some of their friends. We have Suicide Squad number 4, where El Diablo and Azucar, she was actually, it's interesting, she's a Gotham City police officer, work with Batman to take down Sinzu, and then they had a Killer Croc story, which he escapes from Monster Island with chemicals that Amanda Waller was after and turned into Kaiju. We have Green Arrow number 11. Green Arrow, Black Canary, and Diggle save the rest of the passengers in an underwater transport back to Seattle. It was like a speed train in underwater. Kind of interesting. Eddie Fries was in that. We have Lost Boys number 2. This was definitely better at the beginning than when it ended, especially in the terms of voice. It like nailed the characters. This the Frog Brothers were in trouble. They mourn the death of the grandfather, Sam's grandfather. They radio Sam for help, and they find there is one more key vampire killer, and it is the sax player. And they need to get him aligned with them. So if you've watched Lost Boys, you know that sax player. One of the best songs in film history. A matter of fact, I think so. When they're on the pier and playing that Believe song. Got Batman number 11. Hey, I like this issue. That was 4 out of 5. With Tiger takes Punch and Jewel to Bane, and it had Wesker and Catwoman. Catwoman betrays team has a plan for Bane. Batman and Catwoman scene about the murders. So they had a scene because Catwoman's believed to have committed a lot of murders. That issue I like. This is when it was going up and down for me, and then it just stayed down. So we got Suicide Squad 6. Everyone was losing their minds because of the Kryptonian device they were keeping Zod with. Killer Croc back up about his past, and Harley becomes sane in that issue with the Kryptonian device. So it like makes them opposite. It causes people to go insane. But since Harlequin's already insane, it causes her to go normal. Really interesting issue. We have Green Lanterns number 11. Frank Lemisky uses the ring to save a kid and his dog. He's confronted by Baz and Jessica and becomes an Orange Lantern in that issue. He got the actual ring that anybody can get. That has been featured since the beginning of this issue. We have Fantastic Four number 403 and 405. God, I miss the Fantastic Four. A matter of fact, I was so pleasantly surprised to start reading Iron Man. They have a Bendis Iron Man, which is featuring Ben Grimm, Doctor Doom, and Mr. Fantastic, and it's absolutely wonderful because Doctor Doom is wearing the armor. It is so good. If you're an FF fan, and it has all these characters, like the Mad Thinker, it has all these references to villains from the Fantastic Four. I'd highly recommend it. But this is Reed is dead in this issue, and Johnny leaves the team for the Fantastic Four. So if you remember that book, Scott Lang is a member. Kristoff is a member. Leja is a member. Namor joins the team to confess his love for Sue, and there's a fight in Brazil for an ancient civilization that has a machine to turn people into things. And later on, this machine is actually used to sort of cure Ben, like for short periods of time, so he could like get hit in this machine, and he could actually go on a date, and it'll last for several hours. Really interesting concept. I really enjoyed this Fantastic Four. I was reading these in the Epic Collection. Cave Carson, the cybernetic guy. Father goes the fa you know, Cave Carson goes to save his daughter from a company that is trying to take over the inner Earth. And the team, this is when the team teams up with Wild Dog. Yeah, that's Wild Dog. The one that you know from the Arrow show, but you should have read the original Wild Dog. Aquaman number 11. Mara goes to Aquaman's bedside to warn of Nemo. Justice League is to assist Aquaman. The deluge attacks the mainland as Atlanteans. Really cool. Aquaman's always been a solid book. Justice League number 9. This one's petered off for me, but it seems like early on I was really there with this book. The League fights Baz and Jesse, James Jesse, which is the trickster. They don't call him the trickster in this, who hacked into the code and he actually hacked into Cyborg. This one they about destroyed the Watchtower, and it is the trickster that did it. But you find out later it's not the trickster. See, the trickster lost his wife. They don't ever call him the trickster, but you know it just from the name, James Jesse. We have 5 out of 5s now. We have Homies number 1. These are based on these little toys that they used to sell in bubblegum machines and stuff like that. A bunch of cholos is what they are. And back in Albuquerque, these things were huge. They got the license for this. And man, I love this. I love reading this out loud. It sounds like home. I had so much fun with this. Really good. It's a wedding of one of the cholos. Ah, it's so cool. Tales of the Dark Side number 1. This was another 5 out of 5 IDW where a lifeguard fails to save a life and it costs him his own life. Really cool story. Another horror book. We had Thin number 1 where a woman tries to lose weight via a shady deal. The husband is cheating on her and that shady deal turns out to put a parasite in her. We have Trinity number 3. Yeah, that ranked a 5 out of 5. This one, Poison Ivy and Black Mercy. You put those together and it worked really well. It didn't end as well, but it had a Batman backstory. Lois rams the truck into the barn to confront Ivy. Really highlighted, like, this issue was strong in the very first few issues. We have Peep Show number 1. This is from Titan Comics. This is their hard. Core hard case crime novels. This is a tape from a pornographer given to a peep show lady. The tape has a murder on it in the background, and they're chasing these guys. And really good, cool story. The other one is Trigger Man number 1. This takes place around the 40s, I think, and it has a bounty hunter was released from prison to hunt down people. And a sexy lady joins him on the journey to LA. Really good crime noir, pulpy stuff. I enjoy the hell out of it. 5 out of 5, also Black Hammer. This was Golden Age characters trapped in a small town hiding their identities. Really good book if you're a fan of the Golden Age. And then, Speak of the Devil, 5 out of 5, the top book for that week, Harbinger Renegade. A young group seeks to activate the psyops that. And it's killing them. And the Harbinger team forms to help. And Chris is actually calls Pete in space because she has like this mind link with him. So that's the end of that week. The 5 out of 5s were Homies from Dynamite, Tales from the Dark Side from IDW, Thin number 1 from American Gothic Press. Trinity number 3 from DC Comics, Peep Show number 1, and Trigger Man from Titan Comics, Black Hammer from Dark Horse Comics, and Valiant's Harbinger Renegade number 1. How about that? So that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Peace out. Please leave an iTunes review. I've been stagnant for almost 2 years. Haven't got shit. So let me know you're out there and you're listening and you enjoy Mike M's weekly reads. If you have any comments or questions, I'll be glad to fill them, or topics about collecting or anything, I'll be glad to fill them. in this show, and I'll mention you in the question that you give. So I'm trying to do these once a week, and we'll see how that goes. Maybe I'll do twice a week if I can get it in there. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter machines. You can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, and the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you can catch me on Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retrocast. And I'm also on DC Noise, which doesn't get recorded that often because it's not DC Noise without the three amigos, and it's almost impossible nowadays to get the three amigos together. So we do it when we can do it. DC Weekly Reads still on hiatus, and I don't have a date for when it's coming back or what it's going to be. And you can catch me from time to time on Gotham by Geeks. I am a regular, but man, I've missed a lot of shows lately because what happened at work is everybody got laid off or let go except for me. So I'm it. So my job has gotten outrageous because I have to do the job of three people, and it's near impossible. But that's what's going on. So let me know what topics you'd like me to cover at the beginning, because I do like to cover topics if you have any in mind. And check out Castlevania, and I highly recommend Purge Election Night. It's really good as far as the Purge goes. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go see Purge the Anarchy. I found it on demand on another station like FXX, and I think I'm just gonna watch it uncut with commercials or whatever, but I'll fast forward through them. And that's about it. I'll talk to you guys later, and peace out. Bye bye.